them of living in paneled houses. During that time, houses are made of stone. It's all stone products. And all of a sudden, they have wood paneling. My guess is very nice cedar from Lebanon. And I want you to kind of consider that, because paneling was a luxury item. The house was made of stone. It was all good. This is luxury stuff. And I got to say here, there's another issue that we need to consider when we talk about delaying in getting to the Lord's work. Because the Lord is entrusting us with his resources. And when you're delaying for 15 years and you're spending all that time on self and on the world and on the possessions here, there's a real danger that what you start to do is you take the items that he intended for his service and then you begin to use them for self. And that's a reality. The Lord says, man, I've given you all these things. I mean, he set Cyrus in the Bible so that Cyrus would send him back with treasure and a blessing, protection, and provision in the land to get more resources that they needed. He sent them with all that stuff. He did it. But although it doesn't directly say this, I can do the math pretty good, and I'm pretty sure this is the case. They took what was meant for the Lord's service, and they put it to service for themselves. And folks, when we delay in serving the Lord, we'll tend to use his resources for our stuff. And there's plenty of God's people who do that. They have good intentions, but in delaying, it just tends to keep moving into their house. And then there never seems to be enough. Even with the paneling, their bags have holes and the money falls out of it, and there's not enough food, there's not enough anything. And we need to be very careful here. I really think we need to be careful. Because when God sends us to do his work and he gives us his provision, we've got to make sure we're apportioning to him his provision and putting the time and the labor in those places. And the person that doesn't get corrected by the Lord in this area should probably be concerned, because the Lord has a lot to say about correcting his kids. Verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet and the words of their God that he had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. Okay, so we've got a turnaround. Something happened. This people, I am with you. I want you to see that something shifted here when we get to this verse. We're in a good shift. We're in a good direction. And it's because motion is beginning to happen. But I wanted you to notice that the motion starts with leadership. It starts with the leadership. Go back to verse 1. Haggai sent directly to Joshua and Zerubbabel. That's who he's going to talk to. He's going to talk to those guys. That's where the message is going to go. Not to the people. Now we come here and they have received the message. They're ready to move. Now God's going to move the message, not just to them, but also to the people. Because when the leaders respond, they will stir up the people to take action with them. Leadership matters. It matters. And I'll tell you, if you got a ministry that's failing somewhere or you're having difficulty in it, ask yourself, how's the leadership going? Are you one who says but does not do? Are you one who says, go do the work, but will not get in there and do the work alongside? I think you're going to find that it's going to be a problem. Haggai's the guy who does not sit back while everybody else works. He's right in there laboring. And remember, he's in his 70s to 80s at this point. I want you to hear how Ezra 3, because I told you again, that historical book tells, again, a scene going on at the same time with this prophetic book of Haggai. Ezra 5, 1 through 3 tells us, then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, so you see both of them there again, remember, working side by side, the son of Iddo, prophets, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, who was over them. So Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, which is Joshua, the son of Jozadak, rose up and began to build the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And hear this, and the prophets of God were with them, helping them. Remember in the beginning, I told you there's something special about Haggai as a leader, as who he is. He would both chastise the people and cheerlead for the people. And the other thing is, He would talk the talk, and then he would walk the walk. And he was right there, side by side, serving. That's good leadership. That's good leadership. You take something out of that equation, you're in trouble. You'll get something that doesn't really produce the work of God. And in the case of, you miss the whole thing here in this cheerleading part, what he does is he then comes in and the Lord uses Haggai to now talk to his people, not this people. His people. We're back to his people. And what I want you to see by that is God responds very quickly. He says then to Haggai, tell them, I am with you, says the Lord. You guys are going to start moving? I'm there. And I want you to see that, you know, when we see that, coupled with this, that it says that they feared the presence of the Lord. I believe he's saying that somehow God revealed himself to them. I don't know what that looks like. We don't have specifics, but he came in power in that place where his people were ready to start building the house again, his house, to start coming to that place of worship. And I think that's big. There's been times where I felt the presence of God be more weighty than others. He's always with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us, but there's certainly these weighty moments where I feel the presence of the Lord, man, is like pressing in. And I get excited and you go, whoo, I had a personal encounter with Jesus that was powerful. Well, that's what's happening here, but it's even more than that. Somehow they know he's there. And here's what we should catch with this. We can freak out about the presence of God showing up when we've been absent from him for a while. Because our mind begins to wander and we wonder, how will he respond when he shows up? Is he going to be angry? Is he going to be disapproving? Is he going to give me what for? No, what he does here when he shows up is he immediately moves to encouragement. Immediately to encouragement. That's what the Lord wants to do for us. And when does he show up? Does he say, you guys took 15 years off? So you build for 15 years and then I'll come and encourage you? The minute they moved, they received the message, God's word came to them. He's so gracious that way. He says, get up, move, begin to move for me, invest in the kingdom of heaven. And he says, man, at that very moment, I am with you, says the Lord. He does not withhold. And it's his very nature. He is the ultimate cheerleader. But he also chastises when we need to be. And then finally, he finishes with verses 14 and 15. He says, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. There's a lot of spirit stirring here, folks. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. They started with a heart ready to move, and God stirred the spirit of each one of them. He stirred it up, you know, and some people say, I feel spiritually dead. I don't even know if I'm really connected with God. And I would come back and say, are you invested in God? First in your own house, the house that is you, that God is living inside. Are you doing some stuff in there? Are you preparing your heart to meet him? Are you greeting him? Are you saying, Lord, I am adorning myself for the King of Glory? And if you're not and you're feeling spiritually dead, it shouldn't be a big surprise. That shouldn't be a surprise at all. That should be the natural result. But the Lord says, man, begin to move. Move to me. I'll let you know I'm there. And I'm going to stir up the spirit. You'll feel my presence. You'll feel me there. I'm working there. And when we show up in the house of the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. I remember Clint, when he was still up on both feet, he would cut his dahlias. He'd grow all these dahlias. And he used to see them up here around the sanctuary. He'd just come in all on his own, plant them everywhere. It was this act of spiritual worship unto the Lord. It was beautiful. And there's many others of those going on. But it's beautiful. It's preparing the place for the word to come and be encountered to us with the word and to worship the Lord. And the spirit stirs. And I want you to notice that when he's stirring the spirit of the people, it's for a purpose. I know some people say, I want a spiritual experience. And you know what they mean is they want a concert that hypes them up. And then they walk out the door and they just keep living the rest of the way they do throughout the week. But when the Lord stirs the spirit, it's for his work. Do you see that? He stirs up the spirit. He gives us the desire and that passion when he sees us even begin to move. And we get excited about being invested in his work. That's what he does. It's not just Holy Ghost goosebumps. I hope it's some of that, because we should always be excited to be in the presence of the Lord. I love to feel him working and speaking and moving in me. I love that. I want all of that. But it doesn't stop there. It's a stirring up. It's a giving of the Spirit to do the work that the Lord has called us to do. And when we even begin, he starts stirring up the Spirit. Folks, there's a lot to consider in this book. Haggai's got some more prophecies to deal with, and he's going to uncover some more of the things that we encounter as we go to start doing this work. But I want you to hear that wherever you're at, if you're already invested, both in the house, which is you, or in this house, or wherever you're at, the Lord loves that. And that's great. But if you're not, if you're on the whole other end, he's saying, get up, and I'll meet you there. And you won't be this people, you'll be my people. I'll stir your spirit, and you'll watch us move together. That's what he wants to do, and I believe it's what he wants to do in this place. At this point, I want to call the servers forward. We're going to have a time of communion, and servers, if you'd come up, I'm going to pray over the message, and I'll come serve you, and we'll pass out the elements. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for the word today. I want to thank you for stirring us up, hopefully encouraging us to be invested in the work of you for your kingdom. Not just our own stuff, Lord. It's easy to get off track and even have seasons, and sometimes those seasons can become prolonged because we just kind of become aloof to the fact that you have called us to a work for you to bring glory to you in the heavens and in the earth and on every other place that we put our feet. And we just ask, God, that you would help us to do that, that this would be a place where you are worshiped and where we show over and over again that you're worthy of all praise and honor and glory that we can give you, Lord. I pray that you would delight in this place. And I pray, Lord, that you would delight in the hearts of your people who are preparing themselves for the day that they will have an encounter with you face to face. Jesus, move us in this way, we ask today, and show your presence in a very real way in our lives. And if you're here today and you do not have a relationship with Jesus, while we still have our eyes closed, I want you to hear that God would ask you to receive him today. Jesus died on the cross for you that you could have eternal life. And he says, if you will believe in me, if you will turn from where you're going now, if you'll put your heart on the road and see it's in the wrong direction and turn it to me and follow me, you will be saved immediately. Done now. It doesn't mean you're perfect. You're just changing courses and putting your eyes on him, receiving him as the Savior who died and was raised again. And what do you need to do? You say, Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. Forgive me of my sins, and I come to you today. And if you do, God says, come on in, child. You're mine forever. And now as we come into this place of communion, if you're not a believer and the communion moves around, I would tell you, don't take the communion. It's meaningless. It's meaningless. But if you are a believer, this is one of the greatest blessings you'll ever have. Let's prepare our hearts for communion.
Amen. Well, as we do just that, as we prepare our hearts, I've been kind of thinking about this through the week, about just the opportunity that we have to take this piece of bread and this cup. And there's times, and at least in my life, where I have this hunger and a thirst for celebrating the Eucharist, for taking communion, and not because that little piece of bread and that cup is going to fill you up physically or quench your thirst, but because of what it represents. It represents the body and blood of Jesus. And like Jesus told us in his word, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are those who hunger and who thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And I just love that, because that's a promise. That's not just something that he said, well, you might be filled, or there's a possibility. He says you will be filled if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that righteousness is him. It's not just something that we can attain to live righteously or live in such a way. We should try to live in a righteous way to please God, but true righteousness comes in knowing Jesus and having him as our Savior. And so, again, just as in his word, I love how all these answers are right there for us in the Bible, but it says in 2 Corinthians that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so we get to celebrate Jesus and his righteous sacrifice, his sinless and spotless sacrifice on our behalf. It was done to accomplish our salvation. And so we get to celebrate that today as we take this bread and we drink this cup. And so we want to enter into a time of worship as the servers distribute the elements. Go ahead and hang on to those and just take some time to be with Jesus, to thank you for, or to thank him for giving us his righteousness. And we just look forward to being able to take this bread and drink this cup as we hunger and thirst for him. So let's worship, and we'll come back together and take the elements together.
All who are thirsty, and all who are weak, just come to the fountain and dip your heart in the streams of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy. As deep cries out to deep, we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And all who are thirsty, and all who are weak, come to the fountain and dip your heart in the streams of life. Let the pain and sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy. As deep cries out to deep, we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Amen. Now on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. Likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray. And Jesus, thank you so much for dying for us. And Lord, we want to live for you. And so we're grateful, Lord, that you've given us that opportunity. You've called us to you. You've drawn us to you, Lord, and that you bring us into your kingdom. And Jesus, we're grateful because we can't ever hope to deserve it or earn it. And yet, Lord, when as you said in your word, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, when we hunger and thirst for you, Lord, we will be filled. Thank you for your promise. And Lord, it's good that we know that we can take you at your word. And so, Jesus, we thank you. We celebrate you. And we're grateful that we get to proclaim your death until you come, because your death accomplished so much on our behalf, and yet we know that you're coming back for your church, your bride. And so we look forward expectantly to that day, Lord, when we get to see you face to face when you come back. We praise you, Jesus. And we thank you and look forward to just being with you forever. We pray in your name. Amen. We want to end our time today with just some more worship and just thanking God and praising him for our salvation and for his great love for us. So if you'd like to stand with us, if you're able to do that, that'd be great, and we'll end our time together like that.
Lost, I was in chains, the world had a hold of me. My heart was a stone, I was covered in shame when he came for me. I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for me. Was a fire deep in my soul, I'll never be the same. I stepped out of the dark and into the light when he called my name. I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me, he is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for me. He holds the stars and he holds my heart with healing hands that bear the scars. The rugged cross where he died for me, my only hope, my everything. Jesus, he loves me, he loves me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for me. My God, you're amazing, Lord. He loves me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me, he is for me.
Amen, Jesus. Thank you that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us so much. We love you, Jesus, and we love to sing your praises. And we're just grateful for everything that you've done today, for the word that you gave to us today, Lord. Help us to turn our hearts to you, Lord. Help us to consider our hearts and see where they lead us. I pray, Lord, that they would lead us directly to you. We thank you, Jesus, and just praise you forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Would you rise for the benediction? Ooh, got the echo. Got my spirit voice. Okay. Yeah. May you walk in the Spirit, experiencing the fullness of the joy of the Lord, shining as a light in a lost world, standing firm in your faith, testifying to your family, friends, and community by your love for God and for others. May your fellowship with the Holy Spirit and your ability to hear the voice of our great shepherd and your daily transformation to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus overflow in you in every moment until you see him face to face and eternally see him in all of his glory to forever enter into his rest. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great and victorious week in Jesus.
Nice work, man. Boy, if we ever get this mix straightened out, I play better.
I realized. Don't pull the powerless. You're thinking, okay, just want to lower it. No, it's a high point. All the lost and lonely. This note up here. Oh, no, but that's not the right one. I'm on the wrong screen.
And all the thieves will come confess.
I love it. You know, it's got a couple of issues. Dirtier. Got a couple of issues with it, but it's got nice flame maple. It's neck.
And know that you are holy.
Yeah, I mean, this is like
I like the
it's flame maple in the back, five piece neck. It's got two walnut stringers in it, bird's eye maple. I'm happy with it.
Check it out. It's like hitting down to my knees, I think.
Probably it. Switch from this, and it's extended scale. It's a 35-inch scale instead of the 34, so you've got a little extra length.
It actually feels pretty good.
Well, it's not too bad, but when I switch back to that, somebody didn't loosen up the strings when they did intonation down here before.
Scratch it up.
Yeah. Which, whatever, I don't care so much about that.
You don't really have much of
there's no radius down
there. Yeah, there's no radius, yeah.
Not much. Pretty flat down at the bottom.